Well, good evening, everyone. Merry Christmas. I've got my gift basket right there by the door as you go out. Not to grab anything, but just to put something in. You know, this is, as many people say in this time of year, this is, to me, the most wonderful time of the year. Just the way it stirs people's hearts, the way it begins to work on families. I was out shopping a little bit. Actually, I went and was filling up the gas, and some guy, I heard him say, somebody said, Merry Christmas. He said, I don't know, the kids are coming home. I thought, well, Merry Christmas. It ought to be a little bit better than that. Amen. But tonight, we're here just because we love Jesus. And we're here because we believe that every year we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And this happens all around the world on a regular basis. And it seems like the enemy would try to always make it a little bit less than. But I'm telling you, when we see things happening like we see happening in this day and age, where it says, though sin doth abound, our God promises us grace will much more. So we are living on the right side. God is well able. And I'm looking forward to 2022. Are you? Because I believe in God, our future's bright, and we're not going down the tubes. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm not a tube slider. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, tonight we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, I thank you for every household represented here this evening. I speak peace and grace into those homes. Lord, those are your words. You tell us that in these days, that there's going to be great trials and tests, but you said not to worry. And we refuse to worry because we know the greater one who dwells in us. And so, Lord, I thank you in each home the Spirit of peace resides and grace empowers each and every home to do everything that you've called them to do. And we thank you. We give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. Stand with us as we sing our first chorus, first carol. Well, you may be seated. If you're wondering who the pretty one is, that would be my wife. This is Debbie. Most of you have met her, but we got married almost a year this coming February. She pastors a church in Topeka, Kansas, and I've been running back and forth helping with this church, and I go back there to get straightened out about once a week. But anyhow, what a great day to be alive. What a great day to know the Lord. And we're getting ready to read some scripture. There'll be several that we read. But I just like to remind people that we're not just reading words. We're reading the Word of God. And the Word of God is real and it's alive to those that would trust in it. And God will literally breathe His breath into your soul. And some of us, I don't know if you're like me or not, but every now and then I need a fresh breath from heaven. And so tonight I believe we'll get that from God as we read the Word of God and as we just celebrate Him tonight.
Praise the Lord. I am so thankful to the Lord for His goodness in His life to us, for us, and in us even now. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So we'll start here and begin to read the Christmas story. When they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped the newborn baby in strips of cloth, and Mary and Joseph laid him in a feeding trough since there was no available space in any upper room in the village. And that night, in the field near Bethlehem, shepherds were watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in the shepherds, and they were terrified. Excuse me. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared in a radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified.
But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard." That's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. So we stand here today that we literally trust this word to be for everyone, everywhere. That includes us here in Hayes, America, and from wherever you have come from. "For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of God, of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, 'Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and good hope given to the sons of men.'"
When the choir of angels disappeared and returned to heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go, let's hurry and find the Word who is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us." So they hurried off and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a feeding trough. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told.
"For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miraculous sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him," speaking of Simeon, "that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the anointed one of God. Keeping his promise, the Holy Spirit led Simeon into the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied, 'Lord and Master, I am your loving servant, and now I can die content, for you have fulfilled your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into this world.
He will be glory for your people in Israel, and the revelation light for all people everywhere.' Mary and Joseph stood there, awestruck over what was being said about their baby. Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, 'A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel. And the destiny of this child, he will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God.
And being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls.
The word of God is rich. Amen. Amen. Stand with us as we sing another carol. Bless you, give you honor and praise in that name, which is above every name. The best part, Jesus, and all that agree with that said. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, you praise and worship team. These guys go the extra mile a lot, and I'm sure thankful for them. Amen. Well, I don't normally do this, but because I am the pastor and I'm the grandfather and I am the husband and I am just in charge, bless God, I'm going to do it anyhow. Bring a little Roman up here. This guy came a month early, and I'm sure it's just so he could get to see me quicker. But this is a Roman James Nunnery. Spitting image of his great-grandfather. But we're so happy for him. Some of you know my story. I got to spend time with Isaiah when he was a little bigger than this. A little longer and not near as hairy. But babies are just incredible. And what a great time for a baby to be born. He was due probably about the 28th or 29th. So, anyhow, welcome, Roman. And I know you have a grandfather, but I'm the great-grandfather. Amen. Let's give Roman a good hand. Babies have a way of reminding you of what life is really all about. And so thankful for family. So thankful for church family. So thankful for God for calling us for such a time as this. Amen. I've got that's an amen from Roman. I just want to share a few things that are on my heart. We spent most of the month that I ministered here several times talking about the subject, Born to Die. And so many years, year after year after year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we, and I know Christians that love God and are called according to His purpose, they don't forget this, but He literally, Jesus was born to die. He was born to die for us. And I don't know what Jesus was thinking in heaven, Jesus Christ in heaven, have no idea what He was thinking when in His mind, because He's the creator of all things. He created us. And that somehow the Holy Spirit was going to do a work with Him and literally put Him into the womb of a woman here on this earth. An incredible miracle that you and I probably will never comprehend, but the truth of the matter is, God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would never perish but have everlasting, everlasting life. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to tomorrow because I know Jesus will be in it. The Bible says about Jesus, He is our future and He is our hope. And so I wanted to just take a moment with you this evening, and people ask often, how long will this Christmas Eve service last? And I've got 4 hours of notes, which is not true. But we try to make it a succinct moment so that you can come and just get a nudge from the Holy Spirit. And you can go about your Christmas holidays, because I really do believe that we should enjoy this season. We all are entangled in different things in our lives. I understand that. We all have our challenges in everyday life. I understand that. But I also understand this. The most important thing that you and I can do is keep our hearts open to Him who gave His life for us. And not be afraid to walk with Him, to live with Him, to live for Him. And so this year, I want to just kind of emphasize the death of Christ. Because we know He was born, and we know He grew up, and He grew up so that He could become a living sacrifice. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we're called to be living sacrifices, that we're called to lay down our lives on behalf of the Father God. The Word of God tells us that God so loved the world. The initial thing of love from God is that He gives. Anytime you walk in love, you're going to be of a generous spirit. And those of you that have gone here for years, I apologize, but some stories just bear repeating. But I remember one time years ago when all of our children were still at home, they're all adults now, have children of their own, and I was kind of bemoaning the fact of how much money Christmas cost. I don't know if any of you, dads were good at that. And don't look at me so innocently. But I was bemoaning that, and the Lord said, real just tenderly, and He said, well, son, I gave it all. I didn't hold anything back. And I said, good point. And so I made it a point not to begrudge giving gifts, because I am a son of the greatest gift giver of all. And so I want to exemplify His nature. It's not about what we can give, but praise God, we've been given back. Jesus came to give us back to His Father. God gave a gift so that He could get back many gifts. The Bible says He came to save many from their sin, to rescue us from our sin. And so I wanted to just take 3 points, and I've gone over a couple of them, and I'll finish up one of them tonight. But some I think will help you going into the future, because as we look into our future, we need to know that God wants us to have a willing heart. And so the first thing that I want to emphasize is that our Heavenly Father chose a group of guys that were, in the world's eyes, often lowly shepherds. You know, if you're a shepherd, you're kind of low on the social totem pole. And yet He picked a certain group of shepherds, because around Bethlehem there's more than one herd, more than one flock of sheep. But He picked this one group, and He picked them because they probably, theologians will tell you, and they'll say that it probably, these shepherds were the ones that were watching over the sheep that were being raised up to be offered in sacrificial worship in the temple. And so He was raised, these shepherds understood the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was coming, in the form of a lamb. They had been looking for him. And so when the Lord sent this great display in heaven and said, listen, today to you a Savior. And they said, well, let's go see what God has done. You know, the wonderful thing about God is what he says happens. You can go back to the book of Genesis and you look at the book of beginnings, and you can, when God begins to speak things into existence, in one translation said, God spoke it and it happened. And over again in the book of Genesis, God spoke it and it happened. God spoke it and it happened. So you get in your mind, I get in my mind this, when God speaks it, it'll happen. And then when we begin to say about our lives what he says about our lives, I also believe that will happen because God's given us authority here on this side of heaven. We are subject to our own words. Our own words really do form our future. And so it's important what we say about our life. It's important what we say about our relationships. It's important what we say about our relationship with God. I love God. And one of the things I ask a lot, God, help me. I don't know how I can do it, but help me love you more. And he always comes back at me with this. Well, just begin to love my people more. That would have been a good place for somebody to say, Pastor, that's pretty good stuff. I may have to turn around and start preaching to this cross. But one of the things that we find out is this. God uses those people who are willing. And I mentioned this in church back, I think, on the second maybe. I don't remember. But one of my wonderful messages, I mentioned this. How did Mary end up being picked? Because the Bible says she's blessed among women. Didn't say she was blessed above women. It says she's blessed among women. And I come to the conclusion that Mary was picked because she had a willing heart. Did you know that people could love God but not really have a willing heart to do what he wants them to do? Because when the Lord came to her, when the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Mary, you're highly favored among women, and then this is what's going to happen. You are going to become pregnant with the seed of heaven. And you're going to give birth to the Messiah. And she asked a real simple question. How's that going to happen? And the angel said, the shadow of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you'll be impregnated by God. She was around 15, 16 years of age, maybe. You know, if your 15, 16-year-old daughter came home pregnant and she said it wasn't any guy, it was the Holy Spirit, most of us would look a little weird at her. Yeah, tell me another story. But here's a young woman, a young girl, actually, that said, Lord, I'm willing. And I really believe that was what was in the shepherd's heart. God's willing to use anybody that's willing to follow him. That's what the reason you're back here tonight, I believe, is because you made the decision. I know it's Christmas Eve and people love going to Christmas. I love going to Christmas Eve services. I've been doing this for a lot of years. And I love this. I love these moments simply because I love the presence of the Lord at this season, because it seems like God has a tendency to show up and stir up people's hearts. So the Lord says, no one's able to come to him. This is John 6:44. It says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him and gives him the desire to come to me. And then I will raise him up. So God gives us the desire to choose him. The Bible says in Proverbs 37 said that God gives us the desires of our heart. And one of the desires, we should know him. So first of all, our Heavenly Father chose to use people that in the world's eyes seem lowly. And listen, I don't know where you are in God's totem, in the social economic totem pole, because you could have all the money in the world and it won't help you if you don't know God. Happiness cannot be bought. Happiness comes by what you believe or choose not to believe. Secondly, we talked about one of the greatest things that the Lord has done. And he tells us in John 15, greater love has no man than this, than that he lay down his life for another. There's no greater love. So God's looking for people like, there are shepherd thinking kind of people. There's a Messiah coming, and when he comes, I'm going to go see him. And then secondly, I'm laying my Father gave his only begotten son on my behalf. and you begin to choose and walk after God, and can you make the decision on your own to lay your life down for God? Because that's the third thing. I want you to think like the shepherds. When God's word's manifest, I'm going to go see it. And I'm believing it's going to be manifest in my life and well. And see, the thing of it is that marriage, that life, that seed growing in her and producing a life, when you believe God's word on the inside of you, it will produce life in your life. That's the way it works. So I want to encourage you to be willing to lay your life down. I want to read a little story. And I'm going to say this, and some of my people are going to say otherwise, but I would like to maybe close with this. And what does that mean to most of you? I have trained him well. Jimmy was 9 when his mom told him his little sister was sick and would die if she didn't get a blood transfusion. And that Jimmy was one of the only people in the world who had that rare type of blood needed. She asked him if he would be willing to let the doctors give his blood to his sister. Jimmy was very somber. He didn't know what was involved, but he loved his sister and agreed to give his blood. On the appointed day, Jimmy was solemn but brave when the nurse put the needle into his vein and began to drain his blood. After a few minutes of watching the bag fill, he looked scared. The nurse said, "Don't worry, it'll be over soon." The boy accepted her assurances and asked, "How much longer will it be before I die?" The nurse was shocked. "You're not going to die," she said. And then wept when she realized Jimmy thought he had to give all his blood to save his sister. We know someone that gave all their blood to save us. History records it. Medical science probably would bear it out that Jesus, when he died on the cross, there wasn't much blood left in him. It was a supernatural thing that was happening. God's not asking us to just give our total life's blood to him, because blood's already been shed once and for all. But what he's asking you and me, he's asking you and me, are you willing to lay your life down for others? I think Jimmy was pretty incredible. Well, if it takes my blood to save her life and it cost me mine, and I'm going, and see, that's what God's wanting out of you and I. And I know this sounds like, well, give me something to say Merry Christmas about. Well, you have something to say Merry Christmas about, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all sin, should you choose to believe it. Yeah, we live in a crazy world, but anytime a world tries to exist without God, that's all that's going to happen, is just chaos and destruction. But we know somebody different. And because we know somebody different, when you're out on the street, especially this time of year, and somebody says Merry Christmas, you can just say, yes, Merry Christmas. And there may be people say, listen, I don't have reason to be merry. Well, Jesus is the best reason I know. Only Jesus gave his life for everybody. He's the only one, the only God that ever laid down his life for humanity. And he came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. This Christmas season, to me, is just have an awareness that not only did Jesus come, not only did he take upon the form of humankind, but he also came to give his life for you and for me. And what an incredible story that makes. You're sitting here tonight because Jesus gave his life for you. Amen. He paved the way for you. You can smile at me now. So I'm going to pray for you, and then as soon as I'm through praying, we're going to light our candles. Sing Silent Night. But I want you to understand that though sometimes it seemed like it was a silent night to those in the beginning, the shepherds, but you know, they heard some noise. They heard an angelic host come down and make some pretty heavy noise. But I want you to know that that silent night happened so that you could have nights where Jesus himself speaks into your life. What a great thing. Amen. Would you stand with me? As the candles are lit, Just a little bit note, and the people that clean church will love me for saying this. The lighted candles stay upright. If you're lighting one, reach over and light it. And if that doesn't happen, just reach up and burn their nose hair with. It's terrible to say. But let's pray together. And just be encouraged tonight to just make sure that you're a willing vessel, that you're willing to lay down your life because God laid down His life for us. Can you say amen? Father, we bless You tonight. Thank You so much for this time that we've had together. Thank You, Lord, that Your word is eternal and that we are a people that come behind in no good thing. God, I thank You for Your touch upon the lives of every family represented here, every home that needs a touch from God. Lord, it's happening right now as we speak and as we pray. I thank You, Lord, and I give You praise in that name which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said, amen and amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Well, lift your candle up a little higher and just say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the light of the world that has come to dispel, disperse the darkness in my life. I give place to the Son of God who declares that He is the light of the world. Lord, I thank you. And to you I say Merry Christmas. And happy birthday. In Jesus' name. And all agree with that said. Amen. Amen. Well, you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.